The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to Buckmaster on Thursday, October the 17th, 2019. Hope you're having a good week. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and you're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number is 790-2040. Wow, these numbers are really impressive from the Arizona Department of Gaming, reporting record-setting over $111 million in tribal gaming contributions in the fiscal year, which ended September 30th, 2019. So a very impressive annual report from the Arizona Department of Gaming, where the director is Ted Vogt. Ted is on the live line with us right now, but before we bring him in, I do want to say the Arizona legislature established the Arizona Department of Gaming in 1995. It is the state's regulatory agency for tribal gaming, racing, and paramutual simulcast wagering and unarmed combat sports. The ADG also provides and supports education, prevention, and treatment programs for people and families affected by problem gaming through its division of problem gaming and a 24-hour confidential helpline, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Let's welcome now Director Vogt, who is at the World Gaming Expo in Las Vegas. Very appropriate place for you to be talking with us. Ted, how are you?
Great. Thank you, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on today. Just wanted to clarify on the numbers that you gave, that $111 million from tribal contributions was for the state fiscal year, which ended June 30th.
Okay.
And we just reported, and that was record set, and we just reported last week that for the first quarter of the state's fiscal year, tribal contribution was $29 million, and that's actually up 5.3% versus a year ago. So we basically had strong performance from the tribal contribution, which I think is a sign of kind of the health of the Arizona economy and consumer confidence. People have a little bit more money. They feel confident with their employment, and, you know, they're going out and they're spending these dollars.
Where are these locations? How many tribal gaming outlets do we have, Ted Vogt?
So we have a total of 24 tribal casinos spread throughout the state. If folks are interested, at our website, azgaming.gov, you can go and you can check where they are. But there's throughout the entire state. There's 16 tribes that are operating these casinos.
Where do these contributions go? What happens to this money?
Sure. So the department receives the money from the tribe, and we verify that, you know, we've got the right amount, because we actually have a graduated scale of, you know, for the first $10 million from gross gaming revenues, the state takes 1% and it goes up to 8%. So we verify all that. And then we take the money. About a little more than 50% of the tribal contributions go to education. Another 24-25% goes into basically health care, so access, and then the rest went up between tourism as well as game and fish. Now, also kind of taken out of that tribal contribution is the money to run the department as well as the Division of Problem Gambling. So there are no general fund dollars owed to the department.
How big a job is this, Director Vogt, the enforcement end of it, and you have intelligence agents who, I guess, seized $1.3 million in illegal gambling proceeds and other assets. That's a big job, isn't it?
It is. It is. And like I said, the casinos are throughout the entire state, so there's a lot of geography to cover. We are partner regulators with the tribal gaming offices. So the tribes actually have, they're the primary responsibility for regulating gaming in the casinos. We work with them to make sure that they are living up to what state compact requires. And then, as you mentioned, we have an intelligence unit that works to ensure that the state gambling laws are enforced off reservation. And so we partner with law enforcement throughout the state. As a matter of fact, the operation reference where we seized over $1 million in illegal proceeds, that was a partnership between Phoenix PD and Glendale. So we spend a lot of time developing sort of a strategic network with the law enforcement throughout the state.
Then under your umbrella is horse racing, and safety is a big issue. We've heard in, over in California, some of the tracks had a lot of problems. We do pre-race vet exams, don't we?
Yes. So there's been an increase in horse fatalities really across the country, and certainly there's been in California. So we've been working on the issue here in Arizona for a little over 2 years. So we came up with a cross-discipline team. We've got horsemen, we've got horse owners, we've got the track operators as well as jockeys, veterinarians looking at, hey, what's causing this fight? And so we just recently this year ensured that 100% of horses that are racing are getting a pre-race exam. And we've seen over this last fiscal year about a 34% decrease in the horse fatalities that occurred at Arizona track. It's progress. It's not far enough. It's not where we want to be because our goal is to have horse races run without any sort of injury or fatality to either the horses or the jockey. We're still working on that issue.
Off-track betting, OTB, is part of your portfolio as well, correct?
Yes. So the Racing Commission approves off-track betting sites. And a matter of fact, there should be some new ones opening up in the Tucson area. So they approve those, and then we make sure that they're regulated appropriately. So that's probably where most people that bet on horses do the betting is actually at OTBs versus in-person at track.
Have those numbers been going up? Is horse racing still popular? I guess the popularity kind of comes through these OTBs. Bees, not so much necessarily people who actually go and witness the race in person. Is that correct?
Correct. You know, it's not as popular as it was probably 20 or 30 years ago. And that's not surprising when you consider that we didn't have casinos 30 years ago. But it's still, we've seen some growth over the last several years. So just like with tribal contributions, we're seeing an increase in the racing handle here in the state of Arizona.
One thing we do want to talk about, boxing. We've now reestablished a boxing state championship in Arizona. How does that work? How do you oversee boxing and what's called mixed martial arts?
Yes, so we actually, there's a Boxing Mixed Martial Arts Commission. The executive director and that staff works for the Department of Gaming. And so they do provide the oversight. We license boxers as well as fight promoters and any of the participants in that. And so we do sort of that verification, and then we're certainly on site overseeing the management of those fights. And we've seen some increase in boxing, but really where the activities happen is at boxing and mixed martial arts. I think folks think about UFC. That's just grown in so much popularity over the last couple of years, and we've seen that here in the state of Arizona. As a matter of fact, in February, Arizona hosted a very large UFC tournament.
So overall, is gaming good for Arizona taxpayers, Ted Vogt? That's kind of the bottom line.
I think it absolutely is. I mean, what we're seeing is for the whole reason that tribal gaming was established back in the 80s at the federal level through IGRA was a partnership between the state and the tribe. For the tribes, it helps develop both industry on tribal lands as well as revenues to develop and strengthen tribal government. And for the state, led to, since 2013, $1.5 billion additional dollars that has gone to things such as education, healthcare, you know, game and fish and tourism. So I think it's very good. And what's also beneficial is we make sure that we're doing it in an ethical and responsible manner so that component of problem gambling, that we have resources available for folks that may have difficulty with gambling, have that available to them. I think that's why it's been a success in this state and why people feel confident that, you know, when this came about in the mid-90s, you know, people were not certain whether or not gaming was a good thing. But I think now got over a 20-year established track record that folks feel confident that even if I'm not going to engage in gambling, I feel like it's done in an ethical and responsible manner here in state.
All right. On that note, Director Ted Vogt from the Arizona Department of Gaming joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Las Vegas, where he is at the Global Gaming Expo. Ted, always a pleasure to talk to you, and I think these numbers are very impressive, and good reconnecting with you. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
Ted Vogt with us, the Director of Arizona Department of Gaming on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. 1216 on the Buckmaster Show. Want to tell you about a great weekend getaway for you. How about Silver City? That temperature over there, we're going to be pushing really, I think it's kind of really warm for this time of year over here. We're going up to 93, 94 degrees. Over in Silver City right now, I would guess that the temperature is probably somewhere around 71. How do you beat that? So 20 degrees cooler than our expected high today in Silver City. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the listing of great places to stay and all sorts of ideas of how to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Sean Daniels, the artistic director for the Arizona Theater Company, the ATC. He's waiting in the wing. Sean will join me in studio right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a very beautiful Thursday afternoon in southern Arizona. Buckmaster, we've been with you since January 2011, so we'll be coming up now on our ninth full year and launching into 10 years of Buckmaster Show Radio on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in southern Arizona. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios, and I welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Sean Daniels. Daniels is here. Sean is the artistic director for the highly acclaimed Arizona Theater Company. Sean, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's a delight to have you on the program. You've got Silent Sky, the Lauren Gunderson play, which is going to be opening up at the Arizona Temple of Music and Art. That's coming up, actually. That show opening's next week.
Next week?
Yeah. October the 22nd. So you've got a couple of week run with that show. Then it moves up to Phoenix. How is the season going so far, Sean?
It's really been fantastic, and I've really been overjoyed by the way that both Tucson and Phoenix have really received me. You know, I started in May, really with a goal. I don't know if you know, I grew up in Mesa, and I grew up attending Arizona Theater Company. My parents were subscribers and donors, like everyone should be. And my first theatrical experiences were at Arizona Theater Company. So it's been a real honor to come home to work at the theater that changed my life. And so the season's been going great. Getting to reacquainted with everybody has been going great. And I will say I'm really excited for Silent Sky. If you don't know, Lauren Gunderson, who's the playwright, is the most produced playwright in the country.
You're kidding.
No,
I had no idea.
Not at all.
No idea.
She's second only to Shakespeare and Dickens, who they don't count on lists. And so not only is she creating this show here, but she's also working on some shows specifically for Arizona Theater Company to premiere, because she really, now that I'm here, considers this to be one of her artistic homes. So it's just an example where we really want the world to know that the best work in the country is happening in Tucson, and we're ready for the world to acknowledge that.
And the company's got a very rich history, Arizona Theater Company. I mean, you grew up watching the shows.
Yeah.
It's been around for decades.
Over 50 years? Is
okay,
that right?
There you go.
Yeah.
So what should we look for with Silent Sky? Why do you think this will appeal to Tucson theater goers?
You know, I think the sky plays such a huge part, right, in just being in Tucson. We all look at it and talk about it.
Yeah, we kind of think of ourselves as the astronomy capital of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you don't know, it's actually about Henrietta Leavitt, who, very similar to the movie Hidden Figures, if people saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Henrietta,
I love that movie.
Henrietta made one of the greatest breakthroughs in astronomy and science. It helped to explain where we are in the universe. Before, we didn't understand the distance between the sun and the earth and the earth and the next planets. And she made this breakthrough. And the amazing thing was, she made this breakthrough at a time when women weren't allowed to use telescopes, because the idea was that women being around the telescope would make the men uncomfortable. So she made this breakthrough just looking at the notes that the men had taken looking through the telescope. And of course, because of the patriarchy and the way that it works, she's not remembered. We all remember Hubble, who is one of the men that came afterwards, who used her work to go to the next level. And so this show really shines credit on this woman who had one of the largest breakthroughs of our time. But when we say, oh, it's a play about Henrietta Leavitt, people don't know who that is.
No, and it's a true story.
It is a true story.
From the early 1900s. So the casting for this show, are you pleased with it?
Oh, yeah. And it's directed by Casey Stengel, who directed Irma Bombeck for us last year. So she's familiar with the company and the town, and you know, clearly has had a big hit here before. And so I just think it's a right time for this story. And I think especially with, you know, movies like Hidden Figures coming out, people are interested in these stories of women that didn't get the credit and it all went to the men. And now we realize, of course, that's not at all the way that it worked. You know, women were making great breakthroughs.
It's kind of a companion piece to your opener, right?
Yeah. So with both the Royale, which was our successful season opener, and this, they're both true stories around a similar time period. So it's interesting to say, okay, we're almost on, you know, 2020, 100 years ago, what were the trials? Who were the people that pushed us forward? And how much have we come in the last 100 years forward? Have we or have we not? Are things different? And I think that 100 years gives us a great amount of perspective, just to be able to say, are women scientists in 2020 able to get the credit that they deserve and the opportunities that they need?
As artistic director, is it then then your decision you'll be putting together, I assume, your team for 2021?
Yeah, so...
vision for your shows.
Yeah, so when I got here, this season had been planned just by the timing of when it came in. So I'm now working on things for next year and trying to figure out really my goal of how do we put Arizona Theater Company on the national map? How do we really make sure that people know the best country, the best work in this country happens here, and we want them to know about it, and we want shows to start here and then travel elsewhere.
Is that quite a process, working, I'm sure, a year in advance with these shows?
Yeah, we have a season planning committee that is board members, staff members, community members, and we read a ton of shows, and we try to figure out what is, you know, what would excite people, what do we think would bring people in, and just what conversations. You know, we get six opportunities to have a conversation with the community, six curated evenings. What do we want those conversations to be? And that's where we start from for season planning.
The season will, what are some of the other shows coming up? You want to mention some of those that will
round out
the season?
Yeah, right after that we have Cabaret, which is our big musical of the year.
Typically
which,
you do a musical, right?
We do.
One musical. Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody knows Cabaret.
And Cabaret, I think, is a great one for us to be doing right now. And when you watch it, you're just reminded that it's really one of the great American musicals of our time. So for us to be able to give it a world-class production with the best artists from around the country, I think that's kind of our responsibility. We also have, coming up at the end of the year, we have The Legend of Georgia McBride and we have Women in Jeopardy. Both are two really fun comedies that we want to end the season with. Women in Jeopardy is written by Wendy McLeod, and she wanted to write a comedy for and about women of quote-unquote a certain age who feel like they never get to see themselves on stage. So it's three women of a certain age who are drinking wine and trying to solve crimes through the evening. And so it's a ton of fun. And, you know, we just wanted to end the season on a great big laugh to send people out into the summer.
When you look at the Arizona theater audience, do you try to tailor, I assume you do, shows for this particular sensibility of this audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think the great bit of advice I was given by a mentor some time ago is that you always have to be 10 minutes ahead of your audience.
Right.
If you're right with your audience, they're a little bored.
Yeah,
if you're
yeah.
like an hour ahead, they get angry. They're like, why did you make me watch this? So we're trying to like figure out how just to be a little ahead of the audience, how to just be able to, excite them, how to, you know, give them things they didn't expect. And that's why we always love people to subscribe, because the thing you hear from subscribers is, oh my God, I wouldn't have thought to come to this play because I didn't think the subject matter was for me, but I love it. And now it's one of my favorites.
How many shows now for Silent Sky? Give us the nuts and bolts.
If you go to arizonatheater.org, you can get all the dates, but it starts next week and it runs for a month in Tucson, and then it'll go to Phoenix for a month after that.
And the price point competitive for these for the shows?
Yeah, if you go on, we have all different price points from subscribers to a community night that is much cheaper tickets to single tickets. So we try to make sure that it's affordable for our entire community to
attend. Accessible for everybody, right?
We try to be.
Sean, thank you very much. Sean Daniels, the artistic director for the Arizona Theater Company. They're off to a great start. They've got Silent Sky opening up on the 22nd of October. Thanks very much, Sean.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
It's the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. We've got CBS Network News. We're going to take a brief pause here. Then we'll come back and talk with Daniel McCarthy, who is challenging Republican Senator Martha McSally. We'll hear what Mr. McCarthy has to say about his campaign on Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show this Thursday afternoon to the sounds of the birds, 8 miles high. Well, we're not quite that hitting the stratosphere yet, but it is a nice clear day in Southern Arizona on 10:30. The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. With us now on the live line is Daniel McCarthy, a Republican businessman from Glendale who has decided he is running and is challenging incumbent Senator Martha McSally in the Republican Senate primary that'll be coming up next year. Daniel McCarthy, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Bill. Thank you very much for having me on, sir.
Tell me about why you decided to run and how do you assess the campaign at this point?
There was a series of decisions and things that have happened throughout my life that led me here. And what I will tell you is that the decision is something that was very impactful on my family. Of course, we spent a lot of time in prayer and consideration. And for all of you out there that are listening, we come to this with a pure heart. We want to represent you, and we want to have finally a federal senator that does what they're supposed to do constitutionally. As far as the campaign goes, I can tell you that I've never seen momentum like this. I've been around politics. I've watched politics. I've been an observer my entire life, and I've never watched the groundswell that I'm witnessing all across state. I'm spending a lot of time, obviously, on the road, and we're going to keep this pace the entire time. And we are so impressed and we are so thankful for everybody and the reception that we've received. We are very excited to represent you.
However, this is not translated into a lot of money coming into the campaign, correct?
Well, you've got to decipher through the headline that you see, because the reality is launched our campaign really late into the third quarter. So when we launched our campaign, we launched it into the beginning of September. And throughout that period of time, just from a business standpoint, Bill, as I'm sure you can imagine, imagine. I'm not going around the first couple months looking for donations or anything of that nature. I've put enough money into the campaign, and we'll have the resources we need to run a primary campaign on our own. I'm not a corporate-sponsored politician. What that means is I rely on small donors, and those small donors deserve the opportunity to hear from me, get to know who I am, and of course, we anticipate a huge fundraising opportunity over this last quarter of the year. But with that being said, obviously, the media is such that they're never going to report on what the reality of the circumstances. They're not going to report on the fact that when I go to an area like Lake Havasu and there's just huge crowds of people, or I go to Southern Arizona and we just, for example, just left an event where we had a meet and greet with tons of people. You can't change the fact that the groundswell that we are experiencing is huge. And people, Bill, in my opinion, people are done with bureaucrats running our country. They want common sense business people to get involved, to roll up their sleeves, start solving problems that we're facing at the federal level. And that's what I represent.
Is Senator McSally too moderate, in your opinion?
I don't know if I'd just say as though she's too moderate. I'd say she's too far away from the Constitution. She's too far away from the rule of law. We are now looking for individuals that can carry the momentum of our president, what we've created in terms of the economic changes that we've seen that have been so favorable. We need to continue to deregulate, and the opportunity that we have in front of us is unbelievable. So we need our federal senator to understand their role. My concern is that there's been things that our current appointed senator, by the way, unconstitutionally appointed senator, the way in which she conducted herself in the House is very dangerous. When she voted in the House, she has a very bad record, of course, and that translates to the ballot in 2018. You saw that obviously she lost the race by a couple points, but our governor won by 14 points. So we have a bad scenario on our hands here in Arizona where we are not going to have a constitutionalist as a federal senator if we don't put someone like myself into the seat.
The president has endorsed McSally. Does that hurt your campaign, Daniel McCarthy?
Prior to me getting involved, of course, the president, obviously he's also endorsed Mitt Romney. He's also endorsed John McCain. And I think that the president has to do what he has to do in order to survive in that cesspool of Washington, D.C. It's hard to do business in Washington, D.C. from what I hear and from what we've all seen. So I don't blame the president for that. Again, it was before I got into the race.
Daniel McCarthy is with us on the Buckmaster Show, a Republican businessman. Daniel, you might want to tell our listeners about who you are and how you became a very successful businessman, please.
We have the entrepreneurial dream in America. We have experienced business success by starting our own organizations and watching those organizations thrive, even in bad times when the economy was bad. My wife and I are business partners for 16 years. We also enjoy four children that we care for very deeply, as I'm sure you do and the rest of your audience. We want to provide our children and grandchildren the same opportunity that this great country has provided to us, and we are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that happens. I want to serve you. My family wants to serve you and the state of Arizona in a way that you've never seen before. We need the rule of law respected in this country. We have a constitution. That constitution provides us with a secret sauce in order to have a lot of success, and we just need to get the federal government out of the way and stop allowing the federal government to micromanage us in every state of this country. So I can tell you that our businesses, we have a global brand, Makeup Eraser. We have a local real estate organization. I've been involved with a lot of small organizations that we've been in and out of. And, we just share, obviously, an entrepreneurial great story.
Where are you from, Daniel?
Initially, or originally, I should say, from upstate New York in the snow belt of the world. I'm glad you asked that question. My brother was stationed at Luke Air Force Base. So I visited Phoenix for the very first time when I was 13 years old. And I said at that very moment, as soon as I'm 18 years old and I graduate high school, I am moving to Phoenix, Arizona, because I love it. So at 18, Bill, I got into my vehicle and drove to Phoenix, and I've been here ever since. And I love Arizona. I love everything about the state, and we love the people, and it's our culture. We look forward to representing you.
Where can people find out more about you?
DemandDaniel.com. And for those of you out there that are sick and tired of bureaucrats ruining our great country, that's why you notice a little bit of a change of the narrative with my campaign. We want to demand our changes. If you go to DemandDaniel.com, what you're doing is you're taking the first step step, of course, of learning about me, but we appreciate all of the help. We've been overwhelmed by the support. So if keep it up, Southern Arizona. I know that you guys are sick and tired of bureaucrats running your country, and we are as well. So we will fight for you at demanddaniel.com.
Thank you very much. Daniel McCarthy with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Daniel McCarthy, who is challenging incumbent Senator Martha McSally here on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio as we push toward 1245 on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on 1030 The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk and my go-to trusted place for all beautiful things like green things. Green Things, Zocalo Village over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I tell you, they've got just about every imaginable plant that you could ever dream of over on their 13-acre site. But here's the good news. Not only all the great plants, but they've got wonderful furniture, pottery, and on it goes in the Zocalo Village. Five shops from Zocalo for years was over by Country Club and Broadway. They're now part of the Green Things family. Handmade, many cases handmade merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So check it out. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and we now welcome a Tucson City Council candidate, Ewart
Ewart.
I knew I was going to screw it up. Unfortunately, Ewart, I think I've got it. Did I get it right? Ewart.
Yes.
Ewart Williams is with us. Mr. Williams, a Republican who is running in Ward 2 against the longtime councilman incumbent Paul Cunningham. Mr. Williams, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to plunge into politics. This is your first opportunity in that area.
Yes, it is. Well, I came here about 24 years ago, and after the first 2 years I was here, I decided to go ahead and stay here in Tucson.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from New York.
Okay.
Spent 18 years in New York, 7 years in the Marine Corps, 21 years in Southern California, and I've been here 24 years.
So you're, when did you first hear about Tucson? Or how did you come out here sight unseen or what?
Well, pretty much sight unseen. I had a business in California. I was a lath and plaster and contractor.
Mm-hmm.
When the market fell out in 95, I decided to come to Tucson. A friend of mine asked me to come and help him on the base. So I did that. And then I realized that the people in Tucson were very nice people. And the cost of living was low.
Mm-hmm.
And no natural disasters.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I decided, well, you know what? Let me bring my family out here. And after about being here about 5 years, I said, there's a problem with Tucson.
There is a problem?
There is a problem.
Yeah, what is that problem?
The city wasn't growing. If it wasn't growing as far as I could see, as far as the progression, I thought it should be moving a little bit faster, a little bit further along than it was moving. And after talking to several people and several elderly people who's been here, you know, 3-4 generations, they said that Tucson has always been this way. Very slow. They don't want it to grow. And I'm saying, well, it's impossible to keep a city small. The city is growing. The population's growing. I can see the population growing. But the things that we need to get revenue, like bigger industries, manufacturing, things like that, it wasn't happening. And actually, one of the places that I saw when I got here was Texas Instrument, and they left shortly after I got here. But I see that they're back again.
I understand you have a 5-point plan.
Yes, I do. My plan is common sense, public safety, better roads, school funding, financial accountability, and good paying jobs.
Hmm.
Now, in saying all that, in order to get those good paying jobs, which everybody's looking for, we need to fix our schools. We need to fix TUSD. Okay? We need to fix our school system, and we need to fix our infrastructure. I've talked to enough CEOs, because I do drive Uber and Lyft, to know that the only way they're going to come here is if we bring up our education. Our education starts from K through 12.
Mm-hmm.
We need to improve those schools that are at C's or D's, and we need to bring them up to B's. We need to improve our infrastructure. We're widening roads now that should have been widened maybe 30 or 40 years ago. It's costing the city more money to widen these roads now than if they would have done it 30 years ago.
Let's go back to education. What can the council members do about education? Because
it's not part of the charter.
Right,
I understand that.
Right.
It's not part of the charter.
TUSD is not part of the city.
Right. But we can
city council for them. Yeah.
Right. But we can try to legislate, talk to our senators, our congressmen, our people, our legislators, and see if we can make enough noise to them to where they can get something done at their level. We know we can't do anything at our level.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned police and fire. What could be done there as far as you're concerned?
Let's look back to 2017. We had approximately 1,200 police officers on the streets. Now we have less than 800. Mm-hmm. There's a problem somewhere. Until I get in there, I won't know the exact problem, but I know we need to get more officers on the street.
How about fire? Have you looked at that?
I've looked at fire. I've talked to several different firemen.
Are they happy? Are they happy with the way things are going?
I don't know if happy is the word to use in this circumstances. Mm-hmm. They're grateful that they have a job still.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's about the size of it. Mm-hmm. There's equipment that they still need. There are more firemen that probably need to be put on. There are probably some engines that aren't running right now because they have a lack of manpower. Yeah, those things have been expressed.
Why Republican? Had you always been a Republican, or why did you go that route?
Okay, so my parents were
in a city that's pretty much
with Democrat.
With Democrat.
Okay, well, my parents were Democrat.
Okay.
Okay, and the Democrat Party of the 1960s is not the same Democrat Party of today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the two parties, I look what each party stands for, I side more with the Republican Party, okay? A lot of things the Democrats are doing now and has been doing for the last couple of years, I just don't see eye to eye with them.
Like, for instance?
Well,
give me an example.
Well, let me give you one that everybody knows about, basically. The fact that they, on this abortion deal, okay, being able to distinguish a life after birth is against everything I believe in, everything I've ever been taught.
So that particular...
That really sets off the edge.
When you were you're driving now for Lyft and Uber, are people talking politics with you generally when they get in the car, or are they've got other concerns?
From time to time, they do. They mm-hmm. do. You know, the main things that they mention are the roads and the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, they've been mentioning a lot about the homeless.
Okay. And you've got first contact, obviously, being in the car all day with the roads.
Yes. And the roads are terrible. And the thing about the roads is that the bonds or what money are going to the roads, it seems like they're always going to the main corridors. But people in the residential areas, they pay taxes too. They need to get their roads done also. And so I'm going to champion for that also. I want the residential roads to be fixed just as bad as I want the main corridors to be fixed. And matter of fact, most of the bad roads are in the residential areas. They're not in the main corridors.
Speaking with Ewart Williams, who is running as a Republican in Ward Number 2, how has this experience been for you running for office? Have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it. It's been a good experience. It's been a very good experience. But I let people know that I don't ever want to be considered a politician. I want to be considered a servant of the people. And that's mm-hmm. all I ever want to be considered. I don't want to be called a politician, okay? Because I have my own feelings on that label, politician.
Tell me about growing up in New York. Did you grow up in the city, or where did you grow up?
Okay, well, I grew up in the suburbs. I grew up in New Rochelle, New York.
Okay.
And I grew up during the time of the desegregation of schools.
All right.
So I was basically bused from the heart of the black community to the heart of the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, from my elementary school in the Jewish community, I could reach over and touch the Jewish synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
My experience there was, I had a good experience. I didn't have a bad experience at all. Of course, during that period of time, you did have racial tension here and there. I didn't feel that I was being
discriminated against.
There was a few kids that, because mm-hmm. of the way they were raised, you know, mm-hmm. they were a little racially motivated there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the kids I went to school with, they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, if you take kids from different nationalities and you put them all in the sandbox, they can all play together.
Sure.
It's not until they get older to where they start getting these different ideas, you know, and those ideas are installed through their parents, basically.
How many years were you in the Corps?
I was in the Marine Corps for 7 years, almost 7 years.
What was your duty station?
I've been all over. I've been all over the 3rd Marine Division, 2nd Marine Division, 1st Marine Division. I've been to the 10th Marines, the 9th Marines, the 12th Marines, headquarters Battery, headquarters Division.
Well, we thank you for your service, certainly.
Right.
What would you like people to, or where can people, do you have a website that you'd like people to go to, or what?
Yes, you can get me on Facebook, or you can just email me at ewilliamstucson@gmail.com.
Okay, and we've seen your pictures around town, the campaign posters.
Yes, sir.
You think that's helpful, kind of running as a team?
I think it is, because especially when the team is all on the same page. You know, when you have 3 people that actually are seeing eye to eye, you know, what we want to do for Tucson and can agree on that, I think it's a big bolster for the people in the city of Tucson.
Mr. Williams, thank you very much. Running in Ward Number 2 as a Republican, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We're going to wrap it up here. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We've got our Friday Focus interview. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be with the city manager of Tucson, Mike Ortega, will be with us. Also joining us, Joe Ferguson, political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. On behalf of Ray Allen, making sure the dials are all pointed in the right direction, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. See you at 12:04 tomorrow.